From MOCs to willow pumps, RVUs to blowouts. If you know exactly what I'm talking about, you're probably a physician mom, and this podcast is definitely for you. Welcome to Stethoscopes and Strollers. I'm Dr. Toya, an OBGYN and coach, and like you, I'm juggling life in scrubs with tantrums and timeouts. Here, we get each other on a level no one else can. Conversations will be real and 100% unfiltered, so you might choose to listen while you're alone, or at least put in your AirPods. It's time to feel understood, supported, and a little less alone. Let's get into it. So welcome back to another episode of Stethoscopes and Strollers. I am so glad to have you here with me. I talked about previously my postpartum story, and it's not like if I recovered from that ordeal and was like, okay, I'm going to be a coach now. So I wanted to share more about how exactly I got here. And just to review, you know, I had my postpartum burnout. My husband and I went to Mexico. We reconnected and figured out a new way forward as parents of two young children. We came back and I really started to focus on healing and recovering, which I was not doing before, started physical therapy, started psychotherapy, and was slowly getting better. Right. But even before this horrendous postpartum experience, we knew that we needed to be closer to family as our family grew. So we had planned to move to Houston in the new year, which would have been 2024. And the plan was for my in-laws to come and live with us to be the childcare. And we would be within one flight of Trinidad, which was the dream. Since I was basically unemployable at this point, my plan was to open my own practice, and that would have been in September of 2024. So I had enough time to move, to plan, network, promote the practice, and all the things before it opened. I never wanted to be a solo OB, so it was going to be GYN only. But because of my experience, I kept getting this pull to focus on postpartum, but I couldn't figure out how to do that without doing obstetrics, right? And that would not work with the model that I was planning. So I just had to figure that out. Meanwhile, as I mentioned, I was still recovering from my own postpartum journey, and I was trying to manage my own postpartum anxiety. Yes, I know I should not have been doing that. And the way that my anxiety manifested itself was as sleep issues. My mind would not calm down when it was time for bed. So I did actually try to get in with psych. I was trying to be good. And I was told the wait would be several weeks. And I was just like, well, this is ridiculous. I'm just going to ask my OB to prescribe me some Lexapro, which she did. And it was through my research on how best to manage myself that I found a bunch of fourth trimester resources. And I really came to understand what the field of reproductive psychiatry was. I found Postpartum Support International and their training for perinatal mental health certifications and all of these things. And I started realizing truly how lacking our training was in obstetrics to deal with perinatal mental health disorders. So I just continued to, you know, consume all of this information. And so since leaving my employed position in 2022, I really missed educating patients. And that's why I did so much social media with patient education. And with this postpartum experience and this new perspective, my content shifted to postpartum. But because I was still recovering, social media was just a difficult place to be. It just didn't feel the same. And I wanted more of like an interaction. So I decided to do a webinar. It was called 5 Ways to Thrive Postpartum. And it was to help other professional working moms avoid going through what I went through. And it was really just such a great experience. And my favorite part was the open discussion at the end. And it kind of gave me what I was missing from the office, that interaction with actual people. And it sparked an idea for my future practice because I was doing all of this planning, but it was very difficult to plan for such a far time in advance, especially since there was so much still up in the air and I didn't live in the city or even the state yet. So I was like, you know what? It's 2024. I don't need to wait until then. I can just start a telehealth practice. And the main way that I would serve patients is to have group programs. And the program was called Beyond the Fourth Trimester and would focus on postpartum care in a way that was lacking from traditional OBGYNs. So the group was very important. Just to have that community support is what really helped me during my time. It would have a focus on mental health and, you know, have a private Facebook community and really just give people the virtual village that a lot of us were missing. So whenever I would tell people about the program, the reaction was, well, this sounds like a coaching program. Are you doing coaching? I was like, no, this is medicine. It's a telehealth program. I'm a doctor. I practice medicine. So some of them were like, okay, but this really sounds like coaching though. I was like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. I would go on podcasts and, you know, talk about the program. And one of the hosts was like, yeah, so how do people sign up for your class? I was like, no. It's not a class. It's a medical program. This is medicine. And the reason I was so stubborn about it was because of my own experience of needing to wait for a psych appointment. I was like, if somebody is in crisis and they really need to start medications, I want to have the ability to start them on their medications while they get in with their psychiatrist. It's what I used to do when I was employed, and it's what I want to do now. So I just continued going ahead planning. And I found a platform to host the group sessions on. I got an EHR and everything, even though the universe was telling me this was not medical. So I finally had to listen when I was getting malpractice, and the malpractice broker actually couldn't understand what I was doing. And one of the people that I was getting a quote from was just like, yeah, no, I don't think we can insure you because we do medical practices, not coaching. And I was just like, okay, fine. I will listen. If the universe, you are saying this is a coaching program, fine. I have a network of therapists and reproductive psychiatrists at this point that I can refer someone to if they really need it. It is really the smallest part of what I plan to do. And it really had the least interest when I told people about what I was doing. When I think back about what was the most important to me during my struggle, it really wasn't the Lexapro that I was started. And at this point, I had already deceased myself. Again, I know I should not have been managing myself, but that it is what it is. And the main thing that helped me was my village, was my friend P. And that's really what I wanted to provide for my colleagues. And I will admit, there was a little bit of mind drama about calling myself a coach. You know, yes, coaching is what I did with my patients in the office. Yes, I had been coaching my physician friends who were not OBs, you know, during their pregnancy and their own postpartum. But there was this very real stigma surrounding physician coaches that I was afraid of, even though that I had personally been in a life-changing coaching program for the last 2.5 years. I still had these issues. But, you know, I am a big believer in signs and things happening for a reason. So I really just had to let go of all of that because the universe was screaming at me at this point that what I wanted to do was coaching. So I quickly pivoted, and at that point, I knew that I made the right decision because everything just became easy. You know, when I was planning for the practice, it just felt like an uphill battle with every single thing, but everything just kind of fell into place once I decided that it was going to be a coaching program. I met an amazing physician coach who then became my coaching mentor because, you know, I had the experience informally coaching my friends. And I felt like coaching came naturally to me, but I knew I would need some guidance to be the best coach I could be. And my future clients deserve that. And it was an investment that was worth making, right? And I also realized that I really wanted to focus on physician moms, but I got a lot of feedback that, you know, professional working moms have some of the same issues. So why not just say professional moms or all moms? But there was, again, something in me that was saying, serve physician moms. And I waffled kind of back and forth with that even after I launched. It was only when I had my first client and we were in our first session, I knew that I made the right choice. She was talking about how inefficient her OR staff was. And in the middle of her vent, she stopped talking and was like, "Oh, I'm just so glad I could talk to you about this stuff. My husband is great, but he just does not get it." And I was like, yes, this is exactly why I wanted to focus on physician moms only, right? We need a space that is just for us. And it is just a relief to not have to explain yourself. OB was my first calling. I loved doing obstetrics. I loved doing gynecology. I was great at it. But I truly believe that this is my second calling. I feel like I am in my zone of genius, and every single thing that I have done before this, even the businesses I have started, the social media, all of it has led me right here to be the best coach for physician moms who are in the early years of motherhood, giving you the support, the love, and the care that you need and you deserve. And I am so glad that I made the pivot and listened to the universe. And by the way, my husband and I also stopped fighting against the universe and decided against moving because we realized neither of us actually wanted to move to Texas. And I realized that I don't, in fact, want to open a practice. And since my in-laws want no part of California, but we got spoiled by having in-home childcare, we finally accepted that we had to give in to getting an au pair or joining the au pair program, which I had been fighting against for a long time. But we'll talk about that in another episode, right? So don't forget to rate and review the podcast, share with another physician mom, and see you on the next episode of Stethoscopes and Strollers. And that's a wrap on today's episode. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you feel a little more seen and a lot less alone. If you love what you heard, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and drop us a 5-star review. They really make a big difference, and it helps other physician moms find us too. And share this episode with your friends. It's all about spreading the support and keeping the conversation going. See you on the next episode of Stethoscopes and Strollers.